Let's see. Admit. I'll give it a few more minutes while people are joining. And while people are joining, if you are a member of the employee assembly, please put EA in front of your name.
One more member and you have quorum, if my math is right, Jana.
Excellent. Thank you, Jessica. Okay, I'll give it just a few more 30 seconds or so.
Here comes Jamie.
Just a quick question, Jessica. Since we approved two members the last time around, doesn't our quorum change?
I've got 21 members with the new ones, so quorum's 11.
Perfect. Okay, thanks.
I just saw an email that there is no internet in Bartles, so Kevin Phipps will join when he can. So other folks might be experiencing something like that. So, well, with that said, anyone new joining that is part of the EA, please put EA in your name. That helps with voting and other taking attendance and things like that. Okay, and I will go ahead and start the meeting. So I will let Marcy, as soon as she gets connected, start with the roll call. Looks like she's still connecting.
I can do it for you if you want,
Oh,
Janet.
yeah, that'd be great. She may be experiencing some internet issues too. Thank
It could
you.
be this. That's what I thought too. So, Marcy Benda, and we see her. Marcus Brooks. Frank Cantone. I think I saw Frank.
Present. I'm here.
Carl Cornell.
Present.
Erica Crawley, I think, is out sick. Rebecca Dillon, Bethany Dixon is excused. Is that right, Marcy?
Yes, so sorry. Yes, she's is excused. Her and Rebecca are both
Okay. Oh, great. Jamie Doss, I think.
present.
Thomas Hambury. I think I saw Thomas, didn't I? Maybe not. For Don Hinshaw,
Yep.
Ellie Crum,
I'm here.
Jeremy Cruiser, Sophie Lanchez.
She just joined.
Yep, I see that. Christine Mahoney is
Hello.
here.
Hello.
Kevin Phipps is possible. Stephanie Rizzo.
Here.
Yvonne Solis Cruz.
Here.
Kate Supran.
I'm here.
Deb Serene. Wendy Treat.
Present.
And Jana Van Houten.
Here.
Whoops, I counted Jana twice. So you have 20 members. So 11 is still your quorum, and you have 13 at the moment.
Thank you very much, Jessica. And I will move on to our land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayakono. The Gayakono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of the Gayakono dispossession and other ongoing connection and honor the ongoing connection of the Gayakono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. And with that, we're going to move into our business of the day. We have Brandon Fortenberry here. He's going to provide a presentation on the United Way. And I know today is the United Way chili cook-off, so we'll just go ahead and dive right into that so he can go ahead and get over to that once he completes this presentation. So take it away, Brandon.
Thank you, Jana, and thank you, everyone. I appreciate it. The chili cook-off is alive and kicking out here at the Humphreys Building. So if anybody's in the vicinity after the meeting, they'll still be chili here. And so I just wanted to speak to folks here. I see a lot of new faces that I don't know. So I'm excited to see that and talk to folks about the United Way. I know we get a lot of communications via email. We send out a lot of those and understand that sometimes those don't make it through all the filters. And one of the pieces that we often look to do is find advocates to help us to spread the message around the importance of the United Way. And one of the key aspects of this is that Cornell University in our campaign funds nearly one third of the entire Tompkins County United Way annual giving. And that number is significant because the United Way funds organizations throughout Tompkins County addressing a variety of different aspects, whether that's housing insecurity, food insecurity, health and well-being, social and services, and many, many more. One of the benefits of giving to the United Way through the Cornell campaign is that every dollar you give is 100% going to the not-for-profit organizations. And the beauty of it as well is that you can give directly to a specific organization. So if you personally would like to give to the SPCA of Tompkins County or anywhere in the world, wherever that is, if it is a registered 501(c), you can say, I want that money to go to this place. In fact, we recently got a check from somebody's United Way campaign in Florida that wanted to go to Cornell University. They wanted to give their funds through United Way to Cornell University. So we got a little confused. We weren't sure if they were giving it to the United Way of Cornell, but we figured out somebody in their campaign in their hometown said, I want my money to go to Cornell University. So you could do that as well if you ever, whoever you want to give to, whether that's for myself, Big Brother, Big Sister, this is a big part of what I like to give to. I was a member of the program as a child and it made a major impact on my life. And so I dedicate a portion of my donation to go directly to Big Brother, Big Sisters here in Tompkins County. But again, you can, when you make your donation, it can go wherever you want. You can choose for the United Way to also identify need. So the United Way is an organization that receives funds and through a process of grant applications, a 501(c) can apply for and receive funding for an initiative, a project, or just to be able to continue to operate their services in the community. So nonprofits in the community send in grants to receive funds, and the United Way then vets those grants and awards funds based on their total volume of applicants and the requested amounts. So one of the beauties there is that you can just say, yeah, I want to give you money, United Way, and I don't know where the best need is. Well, the United Way here has a group of dedicated volunteers who identify the needs and work to address and allocate those funds effectively throughout the community. So there's a variety of different ways in which you can designate your funds or not, and just say, United Way, here, I'm giving you funds, figure out what's best for the folks in your community here in Tompkins County, beyond wherever it may be. And what I'm here today to speak to is asking for all of you to help me in advocacy for the United Way. Our campaign is a little behind of what we typically see at this time frame. Our goal for this year is $575,000. As I mentioned, that's nearly a third of the entire Tompkins County fund campaign goals. So a major initiative here. If you look at our United Way website, you'll see we're less than halfway there right now, and we're beyond the halfway point in the campaign. The campaign runs through this semester here. We do continue to receive donations beyond the new year, but we really focus on trying to get everything allocated before the end of the semester so that they have a sense of their calendar year annual fund. So I'm asking all of you to help in advocacy, providing opportunities in your office for letting folks know about the United Way. Things as simple as using an email signature that lets folks know, hey, have you given to the United Way? Consider making a pledge. You can, in your office, host a gathering. I myself have a Zoom background that I can throw on if I'm in a group, and it's got a QR code that people could scan right there. It takes you directly to the pledge, United Way pledge site. These are the things that make the difference in getting to that campaign goal. It is important. I know that emails are good, but I know they're not great. I know that we get so much communication from Cornell and beyond, and sometimes those things just get a little bit lost in the shuffle. So the individual voice makes a big impact in helping to spread the message and spread the word about what the United Way does. If any of you were ever interested in having someone come and talk to your area about the United Way, I am always happy to do that. Myself and Pat Wynn as co-chairs, we're happy to come and talk to your organization and help to spread the word and let folks understand a little bit more about the United Way. I'm often surprised in this role about how many people don't know what the United Way is or what it does. And oftentimes when I ask that question, like, yeah, I know. And then when I go over that aspect of that, the grant application and funding, and I go over the aspect of being able to designate the funds. And then people often say, well, I like to give directly because then all of the money goes to that organization. I have to let them know that Cornell University is a number of cornerstone partners that entirely fund all overhead costs for the United Way of Tompkins County. So therefore, yes, they have staff and they pay those staff and there's a cost associated that is entirely funded through a number, including Cornell University and other key cornerstone partners that ensure that the money you give does not get charged an administrative fee, does not get charged a processing fee. Everything you give goes directly to those organizations. And so those are the key components that sometimes get lost in the messaging. So I'm here today just to advocate and ask you all to help me in advocating and also to offer my voice and services to help you in your office, whatever it may be. Something as simple as putting together a chili cook-off. Well, that was pretty complex. Chili cook-off, it's pretty big. If you see it, it's pretty massive. But maybe one day in your office, you say, all right, everybody bring in some baked goods and let's just, make donations for the United Way. Every single dollar makes an impact. So anything that you can think of, we greatly appreciate. And as I mentioned, I'm happy to be there and bring my voice and advocacy to your area or spread the message however I can best do so. And I'm very appreciative, Jana, of the time here today to let folks know about the United Way. And I'm happy to take any questions or hear any thoughts or comments if folks have time for that.
Yeah, thank you, Brandon. Phil, go right ahead.
Hi, yeah, thank you for that, Brandon. I just wanted to ask if you had any templates for like the email signature or the QR code that can be sent out, any resources that we can use to spread awareness?
Absolutely, I'd be happy to send that over to Jana and she could distribute it out to the EA list, if that would be okay.
That'd be great, yeah. Thank you. Great question. And Sophie, go right ahead.
I was wondering, do you have a flyer with like this information about United Way? Because we can also include it in our EA Voice newsletter.
Oh yeah, so what I could do actually is connect you with Jamie Paris, who's one of our volunteers in the committee, and she does all of our social media and advertising, and she likely has a document that we can send over. So I will connect. Would that be, are you the communications person these days?
Yes.
Incredible work. I know how tough that is. So I'm happy to get you connected with her and hopefully she can get you something to include in that voice, the newsletter.
Excellent. And Frank.
Hey, it's Frank.
Hey, Brandon. Good to see you again. Nice familiar face. Hey, question. When does the campaign end? Because I'm thinking we could put something in the retiree newsletter, for example.
Oh, that would be great. Retirees are a huge, huge part of our giving here at Cornell. Major donations come from our retirees, and it's a huge population that's very giving and beneficial to the campaign. So our campaign officially is sort of closes out December 22nd, I think it is, just before the winter break. But what I can do is the same thing for you, Frank, is I can get Jamie to put together something that could be included in your retiree newsletter as well.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah.
Excellent. Any other questions for Brandon? Well, this was really informative. Thank you so much for taking the time to meet with us. All right. Well, if there's no other questions, Brandon, we'll let you get going. We know
all right.
You have a busy lunch ahead of you. So, all right. Good
Thank
luck.
You also your cook-off. Take care, and I'll follow up with those items after the cook-off here.
Sounds great. Thank you. Bye. All right. So now we'll move on to incidental vacancies. So I see there are a couple of potential new members. Welcome. And I will let, if Kate is ready, it looks like she might just need a moment, but we'll start. I know that there will be a short presentation. We did this at our last meeting, we'll just have a short presentation and then we'll go into a closed session and then just EA members, and then we'll go ahead and vote. And Don just went through this. It wasn't painful. So, so Phil and Danielle, let's see. It looks like Kate is still, so she might.
Sorry, I'm sort of here.
Okay. No worries. Yeah. You want me to take this? Okay.
Yeah, if you could just start us off. I had sent the document, 15 seconds yep. before the meeting. So if you want to lead off on that, that would be terrific.
Absolutely. Happy to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So
there you go, Mom.
So we'll start with Phil. Phil, if okay. you just want to go ahead, talk, a little bit about yourself and why you want to be an EA member, go right ahead.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jen. I appreciate the introduction. My name is Phil Soroka. I work in the graduate school. I'm on the records and enrollment team. And I am a new employee here, fairly new. I started back in March, but I have been committed to getting my roots in Cornell. I volunteer for the LSO office doing group facilitations. I'm auditing the course this semester. I participate in commencement and the week of welcome, dean's welcome, those sorts of things. So I've been trying to stay as active as I can. I do apologize for missing the meeting 2 weeks ago. I was actually out of town in Boston that day. But this is, of course, as I'm sure you all know, my first time being present. So I understand that there's a lot to know. But in my past work, I have worked in community groups that I have had leadership roles in. When I was in Florida, I did a lot of community work and worked a role that was comparable in the group, to like an HR role. I mediated intergroup conflict, I instituted check-ins, did that sort of thing. So I am familiar with the strategies and methods of the committees and this type of work. But I'd very much be interested in nominating myself for the at-large position for the disability representative. I am personally invested. I do have my own disabilities as well that are documented. And we very much appreciate the opportunity to advocate on behalf of Cornell staff for that as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Phil. Really appreciate that. And Danielle, are you ready to?
I am. Is my volume okay?
You sound great. Go right ahead. Thank you.
I'm Danielle Wearson. I'm the course coordinator for the Department of Physics. I just had my 8-year anniversary with Cornell on Friday. I have spent a lot of time in the last few years educating and advocating for students, primarily through social media, and have decided to shift that focus to educating and advocating for my fellow employees. I am known for my honest opinions on things, and I have a lot of them. My primary concerns right now being there's a lot of inequity between employees in different departments, in different colleges. People like me, like Phil, who have physical and or intellectual differences or disabilities aren't necessarily being given the accommodations that they are being promised by their people leaders. I'm seeing a lot of shifting toward Cornell really liking to centralize things in the attempt at improving things that are making a mess. So I have a lot of concerns. I've been kind of shouting into the void for the last few years, so I'm really excited to have an opportunity to work in a cooperative space with other like-minded people where we can affect positive change for Cornell's employees and Cornell's environment in general.
Thank you very much, Danielle.
Great. Jana, I had indicated we might have two more folks with us, Michael Boggs and Kyle Komoda, and I believe they will be joining us on the 6th. So.
Ah, wonderful. Okay. Well, yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. Sure.
Okay. So I guess with that, we can go ahead and if Jessica can, go ahead.
Wendy.
We have to give them some time to answer questions and that kind of stuff, right? Because
very good.
I don't have questions for either of them. I just have really quick comments as well. So first, Phil, welcome to Cornell. I've been here, I can't even say years anymore, it's decades now. And Danielle, I hear your frustration with things going centralized, having been here as long as I have. Hey, let's make things centralized. Hey, let's put it back in colleges. No, let's make it's been a back and forth battle. So I definitely hear your frustration for both of you though, with whatever disabilities you may be identifying with or have. Andrea Hanlon Mott, who is our former EA chair and actually the former disability rep at large, extremely valuable resource here at Cornell University. So, and I'm sure if you had to reach out to her about anything, any questions, concerns, thoughts, you just want to rant, whatever it might be, she's your girl. Seriously, she's amazing. But that's all I had to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Wendy.
Any other questions or comments?
So I just wanted to give a really, and I know that we've said this, but I was looking through the list of available, what the unfilled positions are, the vacancies. So I did go through the list to make sure we still had vacancies for both of these. And in fact, for everybody who's expressed interest. So Danielle's term would end in 2026. Phil's term is shorter, so you'd have the great pleasure of running next spring, I think, because the seat is just, it's filling an incidental, like a partial term, goes through 2024. So that's my huge contribution.
Thank you, Kate. That's good to know. All right, any other questions? If not, I will. Oh, Jamie, go right ahead.
Is this a time when we can ask them questions, or are you asking if we just have other questions in general?
No, if you have any questions for either Phil or Danielle, please, this is the time. Yes, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. So I do have a question for Danielle. If you're not comfortable answering it in this environment, totally fine. I'm happy to have a separate conversation with you. I'm the Division of HR representative on the EA. And you mentioned that you have concerns about Cornell centralizing. Can you clarify or expound on what you mean by that or what aspects?
I can absolutely clarify. So, for example, I assign classrooms for physics. I have my own cluster of classrooms that are on time blocks. And I've also for forever had assignment rights to the first floor of Rockefeller Hall. Those rooms are used primarily for us for classrooms, for study halls, for office hours, study sessions, whatever. A couple of weeks ago, I logged in to reserve a space and saw that I now don't have the ability to assign those. I now have to request those because that has gone under central assignment for arts and sciences. So which isn't that huge of a deal, but here is the difference in the workload. It used to be I'd get in 25 live. I'd see there's a room available. I would assign it. It was done with. Now it's I get in 25 live. I see there's a room available. I request it. I have to keep it on tracking of something that's pending. I have to wait until somebody in Arts and Sciences approves it, sends me an email that it's approved, and then reply back to my faculty member that they have this room, and then check it off my list. So the amount of extra work, not just for me, but also adding to them that was not necessary before, that is, I understand it makes sense when you're not in the situation that this would streamline things. But when you're actually doing it, you see a lot more. And that's kind of my concern, is that the people making the decisions aren't necessarily performing the actions they're making the decisions on to really understand the nuances of how they run. So they're inadvertently creating more work for everybody instead of lessening the workload.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy.
There we go. Just wanted to say, as the systems administrator for 25 Live, we should talk.
I'm right here. I know you're not too far away. You're over in the chemistry area, aren't you, Jeremy?
I am CIT.
So, okay.
Excellent. Maybe some positive change will happen already. Any other questions, comments before we go ahead and... Okay. I don't see anything. So is Jessica, are you able to, okay.
Yep. So I will stop recording and I will move all non-EA voting members into the waiting room. Candidates, please don't leave. We'll, when the voting members are done voting, I'll let you back in and they will share the decision with you. So hold tight, everybody.
Okay, I think we're back. Thank you for your patience, everyone that was in the waiting room. We had a chance to discuss this. And Kate, do you want to take over?
Sure. So we're pleased to announce that both Phil and Danielle have been voted in as members of the Assembly, Phil as the Disability Representative at Large with the term ending in 2024, and Danielle as the representative at large ending in 2026. So thanks to both of you for your interest and your willingness to serve, and we look forward to working with you. And I imagine Jessica and Eric at the Office of the Assemblies will add you to the meeting distribution list. So those will populate on your calendars, and you're welcome to reach out to anybody with questions, but I'm also happy for you to reach out to me directly and individually if you have questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. And welcome, Phil and Danielle. Pleasure to have you join the EA. So with that, we'll go to late additions. Does anyone have any late additions they would like to add? Okay, not seeing anything. So we'll move down to approval of the minutes from November 1st. So I'll give everyone a few minutes to look at the minutes. Wendy?
Motion to approve the minutes by unanimous consent.
I'll second.
Great. Thank you. Okay, so now we'll move on to our committee reports. Marcy, would you like to start with the executive committee?
Sure. So yes, we've been working on meetings and getting speakers and having people come to our meetings. A lot of people have come to us and requested to come as well. Also, during looking at governing documents, we've noticed there's a lot of, there's a few instances where it's a little out of dated. There are some things mentioned that are no longer applicable. So Wendy Treat is going to be reviewing the governing documents, and then we'll draft a resolution to have them updated, because resolution is the only way that we can update them. But we'll, once she makes those corrections, we'll go ahead and discuss it in a future meeting. So there'll be a little more information about who's coming to future meetings. But I also wanted to mention that tomorrow here at the Vet College, although it's here at the Vet College and you need to get in, you need a card to get in, it's a Zoom, but Kurt Jordan, who's the director of the American Indian and Indigenous Studies Program, is going to give a lecture from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, and I'll put the Zoom link in the chat, but it's going to be Cornell's relationship to Indigenous peoples, the Ithaca campus and beyond. Really, I know we tried to get him to come here, but I think it'd be a great opportunity for anyone who's available to see it remotely too. I think that's it. Was there anything I forgot? Anyone else on the exec committee? Did I forget something? I feel like I did. Okay, no. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcy. And Sophie with the communications update.
Okay, so as a reminder, this Friday is the deadline for the George Peters Award. The EA voice newsletter is in the work. We're hoping to release that either Thursday, which is tomorrow, or Friday the latest. I apologize for the delays. It's because we had a really big event on Friday, my team. So and if there's any additions you'd like to add to the voice, just let us know from the communications team. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Anyone on the communications committee, if I forgot something, please let me know. Okay, so I guess not. All right, and that's pretty much it from our end.
Excellent. Thank you, Sophie. And Jeremy with the Education Committee.
Oh, sure. So we met again and had some good conversation around current projects and status. There are currently two active projects within the Education Committee. The first is equitable educational benefits for Cornell Cooperative Extension county staff, and we have made additional progress there. There are conversations ongoing with university leadership that may be able to provide additional educational benefits statewide to our CCE county staff. No promises have been made yet, but it's continuing forward in a very positive direction. In addition to that, there the other project that is ongoing is the part-time online bachelor's degree for non-traditional students. There was an EA Resolution 6 in 2022, and we're continuing work on that to move forward with providing additional educational benefits to folks who normally don't have that access. anybody is interested in these topics or additional, which are contained within box, we have a list of proposed subjects in a box note within our box folder. If you're interested, you're more than welcome to join us for our meetings. Join the committee if you like. We could always use more voices.
Thank you. And Christy Mahoney with the Welfare Committee.
Morning. Our most recent meeting was a catch-up of conversations that we've had over the semester, discussing what items we'll pull forward into the spring, and potentially inviting guests to further discussion. Our last meeting of the semester is next week, 2 weeks from today, and we will be hosting transportation services to give us an update on transit, relationship with TCAT, and we have some questions and concerns that have been brought forth by constituents that they will respond to. Additionally, we received an update about the Workforce Wellbeing Core Advisory Committee. There are two committees that are been established, I think in response to the charter. I don't really recall the impetus, but the Workforce Wellbeing Core Advisory Committee has established three priority areas. They will be reporting out on recommendations in the spring. Those priority areas are mental health, workload and boundaries, and healthy spaces and places. So we'll be hosting them hopefully in the spring to further that discussion. I think that's it. Anyone from the committee want to offer any other comments? Have a very full committee now. Thank you, Kate and Jenna, for recruiting for me.
Excellent. All right. Thanks, Christy. And Bethany is not here. Benefits and policy. I'm on that committee. We have not met yet. So anyone have anything to add that I might not know about? If not, we'll skip on down to Wendy. Okay, Wendy, it's all yours with the elections committee.
All right. Well, again, welcome to the Employee Assembly, Phil and Danielle. Danielle, by default, because your seat does not end in our terms in 2026, you are automatically on the elections committee. Congratulations. Phil, your seat actually ends in 2024. So you're kind of in a similar situation as I was when I joined the Employee Assembly. I joined in the fall and kind of filled an incidental vacancy, such as you just did, and then ran for my seat again in the spring. So that's basically your seat will be up for election, so that's why you're not on the election committee. I have not met with the election committee recently. I do want to try and get a meeting on the books at some point between now and before winter break, just to have a conversation with the individuals on the committee about shaping up our elections rules for the spring election. I did actually have a meeting with Jessica from the Office of the Assemblies, and going to start working with her to get us, you know, our calendar set, that sort of thing. And then also just some really just firming up the language of it, because there has been some question back and forth of eligibility, whether if someone is a term employee, we need to make sure like the term of their employment doesn't end before the term of their EAC, that sort of thing. That's all I've got. Nothing else.
Great. Thank you, Wendy. Okay, and we'll move on to liaison reports. Does anyone have anything from a liaison from another committee? Carl, please go ahead.
So the UA Wellness Committee met. They did their introductory meeting. So we went over goals and expectations for the committee. Some of those were mostly around how we looked at policies and procedures and making sure we held space for others and advocate for people and ideas that don't necessarily, that we don't have experiences ourselves with. And then we talked about some old business, and there was a natorium, I always get that word wrong, that was proposed in a large budget a budget proposal that went through last year, and we got a no from that. And then we had some discussion around food at Cornell. There's a Cornell food insecurity food pantry, and the food pantry is running low on goods. Also, people are having a hard time of getting to food pantries, so we're trying to think of ways to increase the ability to get to those food pantry sites. And then there was some talk about food contamination at the Cornell dining halls. We were sent a video of a cooking space where meat was being cooked and non-meat items were being cooked at the same time, or even on the same space. That is a concern for many things, including allergies, but also religious needs and other reasons why you would not want those cross contaminations. So that's kind of what we went over at our first meeting, but yeah, perfect.
Thank you, Carl. Okay, I have two updates. One is regarding the Transportation Hearing and Appeals Board. Jessica was actually did a great job recruiting two members for that. They do not have to be EA members. We still have two open seats. If you know of anyone who is interested, who might be interested in serving in that capacity, it's like a brand new committee, or it was defunct and now they're rebuilding it back. And they're still working on building up membership. So if anyone in your networks shows any sort of interest in that, it's a 2-year commitment, and I can provide additional information. But so we did fill two seats, which is great. And then regarding the university assembly, they met yesterday, and we're looking forward to having Martha Pollack at our next meeting. So she'll be taking questions and speaking with the UA. And those were the main two items I had. Does anyone have anything they would like to add? Okay. All right. Well, we'll move on to open discussion. If anyone has, or Marcy, go ahead.
Yep. So just for the open discussion, just adding on to that as well. With President Pollack coming to the university assembly meeting in 2 weeks, unfortunately, we haven't received word from President Pollack when or if she's going to be joining one of our meetings. For the fall, doesn't look good as far as like the schedule goes. But is there anything? Are there any questions that we had for her? Is there anything that we wanted to ask, perhaps, since we didn't get our meeting with her? If you have any now, if you wanted to send me any, unfortunately, time for pre-submitted questions has run out for the University Assembly, but I can certainly ask any questions in the meeting. Me or Jana can at that meeting. So if you do have any questions or anything that you wanted to ask, certainly let me know. Also, something that was I'll call on you, Christine.
Thank you, Marcy. One thing that's been on my mind is the theme year is very accessible from a faculty perspective and a student perspective. And it's seemingly less so for staff. At least that's what I'm hearing, is that staff are finding a little more difficulty in understanding how our roles in the institution connects with the theme year. And I'm wondering if President Pollack could talk about that, or if she has suggestions on how we might be able to facilitate a greater connection for the staff body with the theme year.
I can certainly ask that. And I assume you mean, because they're held more accountable, staff, or their
the theme year being freedom of expression,
right.
And I think that from a construct of intellectual freedom, academic freedom, like there's it's an easier maybe I'm passing for judgment, no. But what I mean to imply is that it's a little more difficult as a staff person to understand in our roles at the institution. I think as an individual, I can understand freedom of expression, but as a as an employee of the institution, how do I carry that theme forward in my work? Seems to be more difficult for employees to connect with than it is for students or faculty. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's more because there's like a protection level for the faculty and students?
And maybe it's the employee relationship, the employment relationship, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't think that we have, we are obligated to represent the institution at a different kind of in a different way. Mm-hmm. We're not protected by the same intellectual freedoms. Mm-hmm.
I understand. And another thing that I wanted to bring up too, and I know this meeting is recorded, it's open for public people to, you know, afterwards, the press, you know, the Cornell Daily Sun can obtain transcripts and report on it. But I also wanted to know if we wanted to create a safe space on, you know, to talk about anything that anyone feels going on campus. Our campus is very much in the public eye. So, you know, if we wanted to discuss anything, and again, maybe not in an open forum, but maybe close, you know, we can ask to go into a closed session to discuss. I think we can. if anyone has, you know, any feelings or anything going on in their areas that they wanted to discuss too. I just thought, you know, see how everyone's doing as well in this open discussion portion of our meeting. I mean, I can speak for myself here. I mean, at the Vet College, it seems pretty quiet, but I know, you know, there are people in our areas who have just thinking about the Middle East, people who have family who are affected. You know, just listening to them and hearing their concerns and everything without getting political. Without getting political, but just feelings and how we're all doing. And then I don't know if you want, I don't know if anyone else had any thoughts. And it's okay if you don't.
Mercy. Bill, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to echo what Christy was saying, and I think that overlaps a little bit with what Marcy's talking about. I think sometimes it's hard to see how we can contribute to that conversation as staff members, especially as someone like in my role as an administrator. I empathize with what Christy's saying about the theme year and not knowing where our role is in advancing that idea. So I think that's an excellent suggestion. And I wanted to also follow up with Wendy. Can you remind me again of who the person who had filled the role I just took was again?
Her name is Andrea Hanlin, HAENLIN - Mott, MOTT.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else for this portion of open discussion? Carl, go ahead.
This wasn't necessarily for this portion of open discussion. I have a different topic.
So. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
So I just wanted to, because we have some new members, could we go over like the committee, suggested committee assignments, and maybe some of their suggested roles in which they'll play within the EA?
Good idea. Kate?
I do have it may not be the most up to date, and I did not put it in box, but I do have a document that shows that I could share if that's helpful for committees.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see if I can manage that then. So share. Here we go. Oops.
And Wendy?
In the manner of being somewhat efficient, can we just ask that the Office of Assemblies ensures that the new members have access to the box so that they can look at that and they can look to see what committee
external, they might be able to fill. And also, we only have about 10 minutes left of our meeting.
Yep.
So rather than go all into this and explain what each committee is, perhaps give the new members a chance to look and see what the responsibilities are. If they have questions, by all means, they can reach out to us. But again, I just want to be mindful of people's time, because I kind of actually do have to hop off for a meeting, but I can still stay until the end.
Great. I'll go with Jessica at the Office of Assemblies.
Yes, I will do everything for the new members as soon as I get lunch after your meeting ends. And they'll hear from me after that.
Thank you. And Marcy.
Yep, just a quick comment. Please do join at least one committee. Most of the work of this, the assembly happens at the committee level. So please do choose a committee, join a committee. And thank you so much. We look forward to your contributions.
So I took that down because it seemed overwhelming. What I can do is email, I'll work to update the lists, both internal committees and then the external committees, get them into Box, but also send them to our new members. And I'll try to do, I'll do that like now rather than waiting until an hour before the next meeting.
Thank you, Kate. Mm-hmm. Okay, anything else? If there's nothing, I welcome a motion to adjourn. Wendy?
You know that's what I'm about to say. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Excellent. Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks, everyone. See you in a couple weeks.
Bye.